You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's over. It's over. No one's going to be surprised. Everyone's going to have the same conclusion. Everything needed to happen a lot earlier than it did. And at the same time, it's over. Good morning to you. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Penguins didn't play last night, but they're going to play tonight, and it's not going to mean a thing. That's because the Capitals won a really bizarre game against the Flyers. The Red Wings pulled it. It doesn't matter. Washington's in. Everybody else is out. Simple as that. And everything that the Penguins have achieved over the past month in playing the outstanding hockey that they have, in beating pretty much everybody that came along, except for the Bruins over the weekend, it just gets flushed away. It doesn't exist. It amounted to nothing. There's no playoff bid. No top 10 draft pick either, for those of you who were thinking about this scenario from the opposite viewpoint. It's deflating. And it has to be immensely so for the people involved. And at the same time, there's got to be some kind of lesson that's learned from it. Not just the obvious. I mean, everyone's going to be doing that now. You know, well, if only they had not blown this lead in November, or if they had not lost a game to, you know, the Ducks or the Blue Jackets or whoever. One point would have kept them in the running here tonight in New York. They'll still be facing the Islanders, obviously, in Elmont. I'll be covering that one for DK Pittsburgh Sports. But they're out. And I think the first step of the offseason process for everybody, not just Kyle Dubas, is to try to determine if there's anything that can be culled of worth from this past month. Is there anything that they can look at and say, okay, what kind of team is this really going to be in the 2024-25 NHL season? Certain players obviously are still going to be here. You're not going to have some full-blown Coyotes-looking youth movement. There's not going to be anything of the kind. So what do you take from not only what's here and what you want to have here, but also what you don't want to have here, but, you know, are probably stuck with? Is the attitude, is the approach still, let's win another one with Sid? Is the approach, let's surround Sid with all kinds of young, capable skaters to make sure that that same vibe is in place while also making the roster fresher? Is that even applicable? Is that plausible? I know it is in general, because we've seen the Bruins do it for a long time and they're still doing it. But that's not this team, and that's not this organization with so little young talent on the way. If you do come up with or watch the advancement of young talent in the system. I'm just going to throw out a name here for the sake of it, Braden Jaeger. I'm not even coming close to suggesting that Jaeger will be ready for next season. I think he's got a lot of building out to do of his frame. He's a really pretty thin and smaller kid. But just to borrow him for the hypothetical, if you had a Jaeger and he comes into camp and he just tears it up and he's looking like somebody you'd want to keep around, do you push that because of this approach? Do you say, well, listen, we want Jaeger to start skating in the NHL now because we have Sid here now and we think that Jaeger can help us with depth scoring or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? Those are the kinds of things that you have to think about. It's almost like you want to set aside the pieces, the individual decisions that you've got to make, and instead come up with a broader scope for where this team is going to be next season, and maybe even within that, where they're going to be the following season. Sid is signed. Gino is signed. Tanger's signed. Carlson's signed. While I'm at it, Brian Rust is signed. Ricard Raquel is signed. Tristan Jarry is signed. So you can fantasize, if that's your wish, about how this is it. That's the final straw. They're going to read. They can't. They can't. If they made the decision to do it, they couldn't do it. Heck, I'm not even mentioning other players who are in this equation who you wouldn't want back. You know, I'm not a big Nola Chari guy. I'm not a Matt Nieto guy. I'm definitely not a Ryan Graves guy. They're all signed. They're all going to be here. And look, I don't know what would have happened if this team got into the playoffs. I have a pretty decent idea, but being here in New York, I was covering Pirates and Mets, and a scribe I was talking to, a New York scribe at batting practice, also a real hockey follower, he said to me, I guarantee you that the one team the Rangers wouldn't want to run into is the Penguins, not just because of Sid, but because they were playing really well and they kind of had that Florida feel. If you'll recall last season, this is me now, not him, with the way the Panthers got in on a gift from the Penguins losing to the Rockford IceHogs, and then the Panthers just went on this crazy run. I don't know that these Penguins are equipped with that, but I do know that they just beat everybody for a month. And there was an entire season in which the living legend at age 36 potted 42 goals and 50 assists, and you did nothing with it until it was way too late. That's a pox upon everybody involved. Everybody but Lars Eller, of course. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Matt, who says, DK, please try to correlate the recent winning surge that the Penguins had to players who've been in and out of the lineup. And I don't hate Ryan Graves, but he's got to be an issue. Matt, I see where you're going here. You don't really spell it out, but I kind of share your viewpoint that a lot of what we saw was based more on subtraction than it was addition, which is not a great thing to say about your roster composition. Tristan Jarry was subtracted. Alex Nedeljkovic went in his place. Ryan Graves was subtracted. Jack St. Ivany, for all intents and purposes, went in his place. Noel Achari, Matt Nieto, all of those do-nothing bottom six guys were subtracted. And while you didn't necessarily get the greatest performances out of, you know, Jesse Puljujarvi, Emil Bemström, there was a pretty significant fade, I thought, for Valtteri Puustinen. You at least did occasionally, once in a blue moon, get something, which is more than what you were getting from those other guys. The only one of these that really doesn't fit the subtraction slash addition formula is the obvious, and that's Jake Gensel. You don't ever want to lose Jake, but the guy who did come in his place had quite the impact in a very different way than Jake would have, and in a very positive way, meaning Michael Bunting, of course. You can hear how tough this show is for me to do today, because I think that this is a combination blow of a whole lot of different things that I know I haven't been thinking actively about. Maybe you haven't either, because the surge toward the playoffs became kind of a fun thing. And it would serve in turn as a distraction, and a fun distraction at that. And now it's just gone, poof, like that. And you're going, oh, wow, look at all these players who are still coming back that you wouldn't want. And I don't have the answer for that. This is not the National Football League where you can just release guys, you know? It's not even Major League Baseball where you can just cut guys or demote them at will. There's a lot of different contractual anchors to this roster, and it's going to be tricky. And no, not all of it's on Ron Hextall. A lot of these were put in by Kyle Dubas himself. But I'm going to reiterate here for emphasis. Step one has to be to step back and to study the whole scene, all of the various scenarios, and to ask yourself, as a collective, what is it that we want to be? Not just this coming season, but the following season, and even on the potential upswing in the post-Sid era. What is it that we, the Pittsburgh Penguins, want to be, and how can we begin that in the following season? I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins, and we'll do another one from here in New York tomorrow.